Thank you for listening to this podcast from KX93.5, Laguna's only FM. We invite you to listen to more music and talk on our grassroots non-profit radio station in Laguna Beach, California, from anywhere in the world on kx935.com/listen or on our smartphone apps. But right now, here's that podcast from KX93.5. KX93.5, it's Laguna's only FM. Good morning to you. Yes, back to insanity after the, well, I don't know what you call it, sanity, politics this morning. Thanks to Jim and Harry for doing their politics thing. We're not doing politics, we're doing fun and kindness and niceness and compassion here at KX93.5. It's your full English breakfast. I don't know whether you would think of English people as being nice, kind, compassionate and all that other good stuff. Probably if you scratch the surface. Good news is we haven't got an English person on the radio this morning with me. We've got a Scottish person and her name is Kirsten Bruce. Hello, Kirsten Bruce. Do you mind if I do my Scottish accent? Is that okay?
It's not too bad.
Near bad. The thing about it is that people do that to me. You know, they like come to me in the street, hey, hello, and all that. And it drives me nuts. So I'm now doing it to you, getting my own back.
That's fair enough.
What's happening?
In the world?
Yeah, what's with happening me? With you, Kirsten Bruce?
Well, here I am. I met you when my daughter was on the radio, on this radio station last week, and you said you would take me out for breakfast if I came on and blethered for a little while, and here I am with my whole family.
And we've brought you've got your husband here, John. I know he's not coming on the air because I only invited you, but you brought him anyway.
Sorry.
John's here. And wait a minute, Rosie and Nina, no. Yes? Did I get it right?
Yeah.
Sweet. I'm terrible with names because I'm old and my brain has gone. You see? So I'm glad I remembered that. So, how long have you been in the United States? These are United States.
Almost 4 years.
4 years?
Yep.
Crikey.
Yeah. So initially we came over from London. We'd lived there for about 17 years.
Yeah.
Nina was born there. We did a bit of a stint in Australia. Rosie was born in Melbourne. Returned back to London. Found the weather to be disgraceful after our experience in Melbourne. Fortunately, John got offered a position out here in Irvine for CoreLogic. So we moved over here, nearly 4 years ago and started off in Ladera Ranch for a couple of years. That was a very different experience.
That's corporate living for people that don't know. It's very much sort of, I don't know, is it Stepford? Is that the place?
Urban life to Ladera Ranch was a shocker.
Yeah,
for me. But kids made great friends.
After being in London as well, especially, because it's so not a city, Ladera Ranch, so suburban, it could not be more.
That is so true. And of course, I went from working and commuting all over London to not working. And can't say I'm the best baker and homemaker in the whole wide world, but it's a steep learning curve. So I came down to the water all the time because I'm from the northeast of Scotland. So I love to be by the water, and I always wanted to be near the water, and London wasn't doing that, obviously. So to be here and be so close to the water, it was a dream come through to get to Laguna. So
Ladera Ranch is a kind of place where it's a lot of golf courses and swingers, you know, and that goes on. I always think of it as being like that.
Hopefully they're not listening to this station right now.
Oh, I could care less. I used to play at a club in it was a restaurant in Ladera Ranch. And on a Wednesday night, if you went there on a Wednesday night, if you were wearing a white shirt, that meant that, you know,
I heard it was white jeans.
You could be a swinger. White jeans.
Someone told me when I was wearing them at the wrong time of the year. You meant to stop wearing them in September? I don't get all these rules.
I don't know, but it's one of those places where there's not much to do. So that's what.
There's not many restaurants either, so I'm trying to think where you were.
I'm not going to say the name of the restaurant in case people listening. Hey, so you've come in here today. It's very nice of you to do this for us because, you know, I'm always looking for English or Scottish or Irish or even, I would even have a Welsh, I've had a Welsh person on.
Oh, the before. Wheels, yes.
Yeah, I would stretch to that if we're a pinch. But to come in and just talk nonsense with me and
I love it.
And
thank
play
you.
Music too.
Yes.
So you've given me a list of songs that are meaningful to you. Started out with Simple Minds, Alive and Kicking.
Yeah.
You should mention that Jim Kerr of Simple Minds has been in this very room. In fact, he's sat where you're sitting now.
No.
Oh,
way.
Yes, you're
hallowed
sitting.
Seat.
You were sitting where he sat. You're in the throne there. And He came, he was a guest of Martin Hanlon, and I interviewed him. And he was very nice and incredibly knowledgeable about music, way more than I expected. Like, he really is a huge music fan, Jim, and completely lacking confidence in his own ability. This is a guy that plays to 30,000 people regularly.
Goodness, yes, he's a legend.
Like, I'm not really that good, you know. The band are very, I'm very lucky with the people I work with. And he was very, like, he was sincere, wasn't,
yeah,
you know, just sort of
very
talking.
Modest. I like that.
It was lovely, very nice.
Yeah.
He's got a hotel in Greece somewhere. His son's running it. So my son's a pin in the, you know,
yeah,
just like a normal guy. So, and he did a radio show here for months, and it's still available online. Podcasts are available at kx935.com, as will this show be when we are done. So, good. Business out of the way. What are we going to play next?
You too, please.
Hey.
Irish music.
Who's it's Irish music, yeah. Not really very Scottish.
That's all right. They're our brothers, cousins. Yeah. I don't know. Who's going to ride your wild horses?
Right, that's what we're going to do next. From Achtung Baby, 1991, believe it or not. God, it's a million years ago. You two here on KX93.5 on your Full English Breakfast with me, Jason Ferry, and Kirsten Bruce.
Yeah! Napoleon, are you coming to bed?
Not tonight, Josephine. I have an headache. What is that infernal racket?
The British are coming! The British are coming!
Put down your hairdryers and surrender in the name of the British Empire.
The British Hair Company has now relocated to 750 South Coast Highway and taken over management of Paris Salon. The British Hair Company. Passion, energy and excellence through education. 949-497-8345.
God save the Queen!
Yes, God save the Queen. Quite right, too. You ever been to the British Hair Company, Kirsten Bruce, my guest?
I would love to have been to the British Hair Company.
Oh, my God, I realised what I just said. Just said a stupid thing. I've just done a Larry David.
Let's get this one out there.
No. I wasn't going to mention...
Oh, my gosh,
...your
that's so funny.
Lack of hair. I wasn't going to mention it because you hadn't mentioned it. So I'm like, well, if she's not going to mention
don't,
it, I'm not going to say anything.
And I forget. And people speak to me all the time and I forget all the time. So I have alopecia. So anyone that has met me and will know me as the tall Scottish bird with no
alopecia,
hair.
Alopecia. Better than alopecia. I'll tell you what, it's better than halitosis.
That's well.
And you would know that being a dentist.
Absolutely.
Being a dentist is the worst job in the world,
isn't
it? No,
it's a brilliant job.
No, it's horrific.
I love it.
No, it's terrible.
It's a one-way conversation. Well, it's perfect for me.
It's
I just love it. I have a captive audience. They're already scared of me. It can only get better.
And you've got your
and then they give me
you've
money.
You've got stuff in their mouth.
Yeah.
The cards are like, and you're like, and as soon as if they become audible in any way, you can say, "Could you open a little wider for me, please?"
Yes.
It is a temp, but it's hot. You're in people's mouths all day. I have to go like four times a year for like because I've got teeth that are my teeth are fine. My gums are going to fall out. That kind of thing.
Periodontal.
So I have to go
issues.
Right. It's periodontal. Yes. Thank you issues. Yes. So I have to go all the time, and the hygienist, who I never had a hygienist when I lived in England, but the hygienist, very nice, she talks to me the whole time.
They're
but I always
amazing.
Think that's the world's worst job.
No, they love it, because they love to get in there and clean up. That's what we're doing.
It's basically a cleaning job.
It's a cleaning job.
And it's a lot of chipping away at stuff. And just, it's not like what you think. It's not, because dentists have to train forever and ever to do what's basically... cleaning, like if you were in the kitchen cleaning the cork between tiles, that's what I think it's like, just like that, except you've got people breathing on you.
You would have been amazing lecturing at dental school.
Don't do this. Alright, so you've got alopecia, that's what it is, because I'm glad you mentioned it, because you could, I was thinking is she like
unwell?
Yeah, she's having radiation or
whatever. I know I forget all the time because I don't, although I have to say I did get a wig recently. I don't wear wigs very often because I feel really uncomfortable with them.
Sure.
I got one from the lady across the street recently.
Charles
and it,
wigs.
It's brilliant. It's amazing. But, you know, that's for the formal occasion.
I've never been in there, but I do love those people because when they... Do you remember in the Charlie Hebdo shootings in France a couple of years ago? Some guys went into the offices of a cartoon or a magazine called Charlie Hebdo in France. It's a kind of Mother Jones, Private Eye... that kind of thing, kind of magazine. And they went in there and they killed a bunch of journalists. So the slogan was, Je suis Charlie, I am Charlie.
Oh, yeah.
Well, that's Charles Wiggs. They put their Je suis Charlie on the thing, which I thought was great, very witty.
Oh, my gosh.
Because they are Charlie, or he is Charlie, somebody is over there.
Was, yeah.
So you decide on a wig, but you're not wearing it.
Well, our nanny was getting married. Our nanny for the girls when we lived in the UK like 4 years ago, she's amazing. She loves Nina and Rosie. They were going to be bridesmaids, so I thought I better push it up a little bit with some hair. So I've got some nice hair, which is now sitting in my bedroom.
How did it?
So it's an autoimmune disease and it's alopecia.
Alopecia, not halopecia.
Although halo is quite, I don't know, makes it a bit more...
well, it's just a thing, isn't it? It makes your hair fall out.
Makes me more angelic. So yeah, it's an autoimmune disorder and my hair falls out, but it's... like autoimmune diseases, it comes in fits and bursts. Started when I was 5 years old, actually, and my hair fell out when I was 11. Regrew, and I had hair till we moved to Australia, actually. So, yeah, just different. Who knows? I mean, I'm sure it's a well-studied thing, but I'm so used to it now, and I wander about with a scarf I've done for ages, and I forget all the time. And people are so kind. In London, I used to get free coffees all over the place. It took me a while to click what was going on
right,
there.
They thought you were dying.
Here,
I'm not dying. My hair fell out.
At a restaurant here in Laguna Beach, we went to for dinner with a friend for her birthday, and a guy came up and bought us a bottle of champagne. The girl I was with, it was her birthday. She, of course, thought it was for her. And I thought, oh, no, it's not. Some guy in the bar had bought us a bottle of champagne for me. He had had a connection. Lots of people are connected to cancer because it's so common.
No, it's very common.
So, I hear a lot of cancer stories, especially in Trader Joe's. Cancer fist bumps.
What a weird thing. Cancer fist bumps. So, it's like when I used to have dreadlocks.
Right.
Yeah, and Rastafarians used to say one love all the time on the tube in London. And I always wanted to say I'm not really a Rastafarian. I'm just a poser.
I think people like to group people. You are in this group and whatever.
It's very normal.
Very
natural.
To meet a lot of people.
Yeah. Well, good for you because you've got a good attitude. And I would think that, obviously, cancer patients need to stick together and support each other. But I would think that in this day and age, it's in every day and age, really, that women are so objectified that you could be a spokesperson for something. You know, it doesn't matter if hair, not hair.
That's right.
Are you wearing a merkin? I'm just kidding. Doesn't matter. You don't have to answer that question. All right.
No.
You were too slow to answer. You clearly are.
I was too stunned. This is definitely not a Sunday. I've got my kids or something.
Well, so explain to you.
It's not a Sunday work. Hey, look kids, that up. Google Merkin.
Get Googling, guys. All right. We're going to play Blur and Coffee and TV right now. Why have we picked this track? I love Blur. So British.
So, I'm sure he won't mind me saying this. Damon Albarn was a patient of mine in London. He's really
Bob
cool.
Dylan once told me never to drop names, so I'm good with it.
Yes, but I don't know. He's kind of a dude.
Yeah.
Blur went to university. It was all about Blur and Oasis for me. So, Blur's the one for me.
And he was your patient. How are Damon's teeth, I wonder?
I can't tell you anything about that.
Not allowed to say it.
No, of course not.
Let's play the track. We'll get into this. This is Blur right now from an album called 13 from, 1998. Can't believe it's so long ago. Really a national treasure, Damon Albarn. And really, to compare Blur and Oasis now, looking back, there's no comparison, really.
I agree.
Blur were the ones, weren't they?
He's a very smart guy.
Yeah, he's really clever and a brilliant musician. All right, here they go. Blur on KX93.5's Full English Breakfast, here on a Sunday morning with me, Jason Feddy, and Kirsten Bruce.
Do you feel like a chain store?
Thank you.
Very cool and very hipster, actually, I must say, from our guest, Kirsten Bruce, who's here today on Full English Breakfast. That's a track that she has chosen. She's chosen a bunch of music, as they do every week, guests on this show. And that is Blur from 1991. Coffee and TV, so awesome. Thank you very much for that.
Pleasure.
Yeah, it just saves me a job, having to think about what to play on the air.
That's right.
When we first started doing this, I just used to pick English music.
Right.
And we didn't have guests. It was just my cousin Martin and this other bloke, Daniel Barnes, who was a very funny guy. And we just sat around and I would play English music, but this makes it much easier for me. Because we can talk about you. You've been in this country, what, 4 years, you say?
Yeah.
Okay, so tell us about the sort of the culture shock.
Of coming to America?
Yeah,
well,
we talked about Ladera Ranch before, which is unbelievably American, very Californian, very white bread, and, you know, ironed chino pants.
Yes.
Isn't it?
Perfect.
Up there, yeah.
Yeah, so I stuck out like a sore thumb.
People would have embraced that, though. Some people would have gone, you know, become that sort of the wacky lady.
I think there was a bit of both going on there, actually. Yeah. So people would know my name, and it'd be really awful when I feel really bad when I don't know everyone else's name. But all these beautiful American mums who look quite similar to me with their gorgeous blonde hair and baseball hats and looking fabulous every day. And then I scruff up there and I'm about 3 feet taller than them, sticking out. I'm really loud, Scottish. My kids are like...
Right.
But the very first
thing... And also, you're a dentist as well, which is hilarious. For them, they're not. None of them are dentists.
Yeah,
they go to an orthodontist, but they're not.
Yeah,
they're not dentists.
It's funny though because that was weird because that was the point, and I really loved my career and I had a great job in London. But to suddenly have that stop was a bit of a shock, and I was grieving it, and I was trying to figure out how to get back into it without retraining, to stop working and to stop doing the job that I loved. So figuring out how to get back into it was a bit. That was the biggest culture shock for me, actually. Never mind the whole moving to American culture, and having moved to Australia before. We'd done the move thing, and we actually have American relatives too, so this didn't feel that foreign to us.
Right.
But Ladera Ranch was very foreign. Coming to Laguna Beach...
Where do your relatives live?
Iowa.
Do they really?
Of all places.
Weird.
And I know, and that's... Do you, so, yeah. You,
be
I know
weird,
you've been to
it,
Iowa once before.
Yeah. Couldn't be weirder, unless it was Delaware.
Right in the middle of nowhere. So when I was a kid growing up, I thought my American cousins were the coolest thing ever because they were American. And of course, when you're... in Britain and you're watching TV and Americans are the coolest,
right,
and they're so fun, you
chips,
want to sound American, it's all all this stuff. So now that I live here and I realise there's a lot more to America than Iowa. I went to Iowa when I was 19 years old,
right,
and
very Midwestern,
like, wow.
Yeah.
Picket fences, and you know, everyone's wearing pink and white, and I turned up in like jeans and black t-shirts, and to them I looked like a freaky goth. But
yeah,
so that was different. But to come here to California after having lived in Melbourne for a bit, it's Laguna Beach is amazing. It's paradise.
We feel like we're
living in paradise. It's like we're living on holiday all the
time. That's always the last word whenever you talk to somebody about Laguna Beach. But at the end of the day, it is paradise.
Paradise is
kind of what you make it, you know.
That's true.
But everywhere you go, I've noticed this, you can walk on the beach in Laguna and you can talk to anybody, sort of people who just arrived.
Mm-hmm.
And some people will say, it's paradise, it's fantastic, I love it, the people are great, blah, blah, blah. And other people have a completely different experience of it. You know, it's boring, there's nothing to do. If you're from a city and you don't have kids, it can be very, you know, there's
You can get to urban. You just have to commute up to LA. And if anyone ever lived in London that's listening to this, they know that an hour and a bit's commute is no big deal.
Nothing,
that's what you do. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, John, my husband, commuted from the west end of London out to Swindon every day for 4 years. I mean, that's
just
brutal.
Come out weekends.
It was brutal. No, he didn't. I came back because what are you going to do in Swindon?
Wow.
You had to get out of there and come back.
Well, Swindon's like, I don't know, is it like Irvine? What's it like, Swindon?
I don't know, John. What's Swindon like? I never went.
Don't grab that mic, John.
Oh, here we go.
Tell us what Swindon's
like. Get him on the air.
I'm sure that my American listeners will be very interested.
I wouldn't recommend to go to Swindon.
Ever.
I would.
Sorry, were you talking about Swindon? So I fell asleep.
I'll stay in London. I'll stay in London there. That's
what's
the place
Swindon
to go.
Famous for?
The Magic Roundabout, which is a roundabout with 5 roundabouts.
What?
They call it roundabout here in America?
They call it
a turning circle.
Yeah.
Correct.
Mm.
So that's what it's famous for.
Famous for a turning circle.
Yeah, don't bother. In fact, Swindon doesn't need any more airtime.
Well,
let's move on.
There are turning circles in Ladera Ranch, I seem to remember.
That's correct.
There are up there.
Yes.
Yeah. Hmm. Well, good. Thanks for being on the air, John.
Thanks.
He's off.
So, yeah, London to here. Let's see, where were we? Okay, so you came. Now, you can't work in the culture shock of not being able to work.
Yeah.
And just being a full-time parent, just, you know what I mean?
Yeah. So I got to see two sides of the coin there, because I had worked really hard as a student and postgraduate to be able to work as a dentist 3 days a week, get it all the balance right, be mum, do both. And that's a hard thing to do, because you want to be the best at everything, and it's hard to do that. And now I'm in a situation where I'm full-time mum, and that was a culture shock for me. You know, the kids are at school for a large part of the day. I felt really guilty. I had all this time to swan about. John was brilliant about it. So
get your white pants on and get down.
I got
the
my white pants on. I got on the I got on Crown Valley Parkway and I came down to Laguna Beach.
Right, and went, oh, right. This is more like
so
it.
So I can chill out and do this.
Yeah.
But still, I was thinking, oh, my, I did all this study, I did dentistry, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, I ended up finding a way to do dentistry, but not on American soil, but with the United States Navy. So I've done some missions, humanitarian missions, as a volunteer dentist, and I love it. Love it.
Well,
new career
I want to talk
me.
To you about that.
Yeah.
Let's play a record. Okay. You left some family behind. Please remind me about this, the dentistry, the humanitarian dentistry thing. But... because I'll forget the next time we come back on the air and I'll start talking about myself again. And then, you know,
not at all narcissistic, not at all.
No, not self-centred in any way. Not self-absorbed at all.
No.
What was I saying? Oh, yeah, you left some family behind. A sister, specifically.
Yes.
And this next song you sang is some connection.
Yes, my sister loves this band. I think everybody would love this band if they can hear this guy's voice. Guy Garvey.
Yeah.
He's amazing. We saw him here in LA. But anyway, my sister and brother-in-law, Justin, who has a band of his own, by the way, and they're really good.
And what's the name of that band?
Elkin. And Elkin. These guys have their own album, actually. I need to come back on and bring on Elkin.
Just give it to us. We'll play it on
there. Okay, yeah. Right, yeah. Let's do it. But anyway, their favourite and song from their wedding, which was a very emotional day, Elbow.
Elbow, my favourite. People know from listening to me on the radio that I'm like a 12-year-old girl when it comes to Elbow. I'm so giddy with them. They're like my favourite. Every now and again a band comes along and they just, you go, oh, that's what music's supposed to, right. I mean, I love all this music, but this is really special.
So I thought this was the perfect, in fact, my sister, who's way cooler than me, said, you've got to play this song. It's so uplifting for a Sunday, one day like this.
Yeah.
This is for Sarah.
Thank you. This is for Sarah. By the way, I should mention, Sarah, that I've got the live version from the BBC, which I think is better than the album, so I'm playing it for you. One Day Like This live on KX93.5.
Like a beautiful day. shabby creeds. If you think I wink, I did. Laugh politely at repeats. Oh, kiss me when my lips are thin. 'Cause holy cow, I love your eyes. And only now I see the light. Yeah, lying with you half away, stumbling over what to say. Well, anyway, it's looking like a beautiful day. So throw those curtains wide. One day like this a year and see me ride. Throw those curtains wide.
I'm telling you, I just think they're brilliant. They're called Elbow.
Thank you very much.
And they're from Manchester originally, and that's a track from an iTunes live session that they did in 2008. Called, the track's called One Day
Thank
Like
you
This.
Very much.
And yeah, it's full of weird things, isn't it? How as a like songwriters find ways to say the simplest things in a fresh way, and that's an amazing thing to say. One day like this a year would see me right. Maybe that's not a particularly American thing to say. I'm not sure people even would know what that means. See you right. See me right.
That, oh, yeah, that'll see you
it's
right.
It's a very English thing, yeah. Isn't it? Would be okay, would be fine. One day yeah. Like this a year would be perfectly okay. Well, it's KX93.5 is the name of the radio station, and the show is your full English breakfast. It's a misnomer, really, because we've had English, Scottish. We also had a Welsh person on once. I'm not sure I'll do that again. And...
I don't know what a Welsh breakfast is. Scallions
and... A Welsh breakfast, I don't know.
Because a Scottish breakfast, between a Scottish and an English breakfast, what do you think is the difference?
White pudding.
Black pudding.
Yeah, but you...
There is white pudding.
You have white, do you have white pudding in Scotland?
Yeah, and from that? Where I'm from, the northeast of Scotland, something nobody will have heard of, Mealy Jimmies.
Mealy Jimmies?
Mealy Jimmies. And they were like a sausage full of suet, because everything has fat in it. And
terrible.
Oats. I think
that's what they... I think
salty. Yum.
I think that's what the Welsh eat. I think they export it all to the Welsh because nobody wants to eat it. Revolting. What do the Welsh eat? Coal. No, I don't know. No idea. So that is the difference. So no black pudding on a Scottish breakfast.
No, we do have black pudding. And haggis. What do you want to
eat this? Haggis on a breakfast?
You have a bit of haggis there. Yeah.
Strange people.
No, you see, have you had haggis?
You know, you're going to say you've never had the real thing.
You have to have McSween's.
McSween's haggis?
Yeah.
Really, is that right?
Oh, you're so Scottish.
I'll give it a go. I'll go online. I'll go on the I'll get the wife to go on the computer.
Yeah.
No, what, you can't have it
get
sent
it here.
Over? Really?
I don't know, they've got a problem with it. Or are they changing the rules on that? They're changing the rules. Oh my gosh.
So you
have haggis or Kaylee.
Listen, when I used to come out here before, when I first arrived here, you couldn't get anything. And now all of a sudden, because of the internet, and there's a couple of good stores around where you can get your English, Scottish. If you,
curly
you
whirlies.
Know, get your curly whirlies, yeah. The kids are going, yeah, one of those. So, let's talk about the dentist rare.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So, I was searching around for something to do, some volunteer dentistry, and amazing how hard it is to offer your services for nothing in the States. Couldn't do it, because you have to have a license. Litigation. Has to have a license.
You know what you're doing, and people
get in trouble. Yeah, you have to have an American license, and that's the rule, and that's it. And that's fair enough. And then I discovered a society at the University of San Diego called the Pre-Dental Society, and I emailed a dentist there. I looked at her profile, and she was so not your typical dentist. Just looked fun, and she wasn't talking about herself in her career. She was talking about how she liked to help other people and very humanitarian. I thought, well, this is something I'm going to... Anyway, I sent her an email, no reply. A few weeks later, Saturday night, I think, 10 o'clock, I was in bed, and I thought, I'm going to email her again, and she replied immediately. This led to me being accepted onto a mission with the United States Navy. So they take NGOs, a handful of NGOs that they have... vetted and made sure, and there's a whole interview process, etc. And I got really lucky, so I've been on two missions, and for a couple of weeks at a time. So the first one was to Panama, and that was incredible. And they set up so these missions are based on the two ships that the Navy have, massive hospital ships, USNS Mercy and USNS Comfort. And my first mission was on the Comfort. So we sleep on board. There's a whole floor on the ship that's set up for hospital work. It's a medical ship, so most of the staff on board are medically trained, but they're also Navy personnel.
So it's like a floating hospital.
So it is a floating hospital.
And you go down to Panama Canal and up.
They did go through the Panama Canal, actually. They went to several countries, maybe six or seven countries. They spent a couple of weeks in each, and they have supplies for each country.
It's Central America, but you're right on the border of Colombia there. There's, you know.
They go to a lot of countries in that area. Yeah. I only went for 2 weeks, so I just joined the Panama section of it. And that just happened to be the timing that worked for me, because we brought family over to look after the kids to do my job while I was doing this other volunteer job. So I went and I did dentistry in the field, and it was amazing. So they set up dental units, but also a whole medical campsite within an elementary school, I guess. And here I am working with the materials that we've got, with big Marines who are like 6'5" standing beside us to protect us, and there's bugs all over the place, and we're in the
MASH
dirt.
Hospital sort of thing.
It was like MASH. It was like MASH. It blew my mind. The first time we got there, we were bussed from the ship with local police to get us there, and there were thousands of people lined up. They'd walked overnight. The country had advertised
that treatment.
Well, dentistry is popular because they get actual treatment, but they're also going for any kind of medical help they can possibly get, right down to rehydrating people and all sorts of problems they've got there. Tuberculosis, all these things are rife that we don't suffer from here so much.
You don't think of, because America's sort of, not America, Panama is a former American.
There's parts of Panama are very wealthy.
Yeah, around the canal, I'm sure.
Yeah, I think it's a popular retirement place, actually.
Right.
Benefits there, tax-wise.
But there's also a lot of poverty, you're saying. I have no idea.
Yeah. So that was interesting. And then last year I went to East Timor. I didn't even know where that was. So that's an hour north of Darwin.
Yeah.
Went there. And that time around, it's hard to get around that country. And they had a massive civil war in the 90s. So
it wasn't invaded by somebody. It was invaded.
The Indonesians right next door on the same piece of land.
Right.
So a big civil war. And it was hard for us to get into the civilians on board. They didn't want us to go on the helicopters. They call them the birds. Because they're... I don't know, if something were to happen, there'd be a huge legal issue. So we weren't able to get on land until the bus contracts were set up. So these missions are massive and they're planned a year ahead. The logistics are mind-blowing, but still things cannot work out the way you hope they do. So volunteers are on board. We've flown halfway across the world. We're desperate to get out there and do some good. And it took about a week before we could get on land, which was really frustrating. I only had 1 week left. I was like, desperate to do stuff. Ended up being in the hospital, only one hospital on the whole island. So there's 1.5 million people and three dentists, two of them in that hospital. And these dentists are just a few years qualified and walk into this room and there's mosquitoes everywhere, it's filthy. They're just doing the best with what they've got. People lined up outside and they have different dental issues to deal with there. A lot of road traffic accidents because they have five or six people piled up on a motorbike just to get around the island. Right. They fall off, break their jaws.
Yeah.
And oral cancer is a big issue there as well. So seeing the work they were doing there with basic materials and instruments was amazing.
So do you experience. And they, of course, have to make a very quick prognosis and sort of go, what's going to happen with this person if we leave it or if we do something about it or what should we do about it?
So in that case, they're doing the treatment. We're there to help. We're there for 2 weeks. So parachuting in and trying to treat people, that's not what anybody wants. And actually, the governments dictate what they would like service-wise from us when we arrive.
Right.
They didn't actually want us to touch any patients initially because they didn't want us to take the work away from their healthcare workers. Mm-hmm. But we had supplies to give them and offer them. So it's very delicate balance of going in. And this is what public health is about. And this is what I'm learning. It was a big learning curve for me because I'm a fixer. I wanted to go in. I was like, these Marines are sitting outside. They could be painting this room and getting it. Let's get this sorted out. But you can't just steamroller in and do that. So it was all about communication in the end. And they had an oral surgeon there from Cuba. And it managed through, actually, he saw a photograph on my phone of my daughter playing Nina, playing the clarinet. And that became a conversation which led to him inviting me to assist him in his nest operation that he was doing. All the Navy staff were going, oh, she's made an in. We can now get her hands, gloves on.
And
we're getting involved.
Yeah.
And he was actually repairing a fractured jaw with a piece of wire.
Yeah.
So I learned some new techniques there that were unbelievable. And what I did was I had brought my loops. So these are magnifying glasses with a light, but really the light was most important because the room was quite dark. So I was able to give him a better light, which he loved. So since then I've sent over just basic lights that you put on your head, like for mountain biking and stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
Been able to send that over to East Timor so that he can see better what they're doing, simple stuff. So it's going and seeing what can you provide them just to make it a bit easier to do what they're already doing. Give them support, not go and tell them what to do. Mustn't do that. So yeah.
Well, so you've talked about some big stuff, cancer and people having big accidents and trauma and all that sort of stuff. But just anybody listening, if you're living with a toothache, it can ruin your day.
It's horrible.
You can't be productive and all that. And as you say, we walk into our big fancy dentist surgeries here and the lights are everywhere and the dentist sits down and moves this great big thing so she can see or he can see what's going on, and these guys can't even see inside the mouth. I'm sure some of my American listeners are shocked to hear that there's such a thing as a Scottish dentist.
She's right here. She's ready to work.
Because it's a classic thing, isn't it, British teeth? It's changing.
Things are changing.
Fast as the food.
Diet is a bit of an issue. But I tell you what, if you learn to be a dentist in Scotland, you learn how to be very good at oral surgery. Spend all day long pulling teeth out. So we're really good. And then I moved down to London and I was with these students who hadn't even pulled a tooth out yet at all and they were about to graduate. I was like, that's really scary.
Wow.
Did they just do it on
the last day? Oh, by the way, here's a wrench. Have at it. There we go. All right, we've got another track to play here. It's Full English Breakfast on KX935. I'm Jason and Kirsten is here, Kirsten Bruce. She's a dentist, originally from Scotland, lived in Melbourne, raised kids here in Southern California. And very interesting story. But can't work as a dentist now. And if you see her in the street, she hasn't got cancer, FYI. Just saying.
But you can talk to me about it. I'm okay.
She's a dentist, so she knows a bit about cancer. She's not an expert.
No,
all right?
No.
Unless you've got cancer of the molars. I don't know if that's even a thing. I don't know. Anyway, let's move on before I get in trouble. Next track.
Which one are we going to go to?
We're going
to the secret one that John doesn't know about.
Yeah.
Okay, this one's for Dawn, my husband. He loves this band. And at Glasgow University, they came and they played and he didn't get in. He didn't get a ticket. He was gutted. People went to see it who didn't really appreciate how amazing they were. This is Nirvana. Smells like teen spirit.
Yeah, here we go. KX935, it's Laguna's only FM. Visit the website, kx935.com. Become a member today. This radio station, it helps us put on the kind of programming that we know you love. And not just Full English Breakfast, but volunteer shows all weekend long. It's kx935.com. /join to join. $5.39 a month will get you in. If you're British, that's about, well, 50 quid these days, probably. I don't know. Anyway, here we go. Nirvana. This and then we'll get back on the air.
Napoleon, are you coming to bed?
Not tonight, Josephine. I have an headache. What is that infernal racket?
The British are coming! The British are coming!
Put down your hair dryers and surrender in the name of the British Empire.
The British Hair Company has now relocated to 750 South Coast Highway and taken over management of Paris Salon. The British Hair Company. Passion, energy and excellence through education. 949-497-8345.
God save the Queen!
It's KX93.5, it's Laguna's only FM. Kirsten Bruce, never been to the British Hair Company.
No, sadly. I might just pop in anyway and see what they can do.
You're saving a fortune, I know. Actually, aren't you?
I know, but unfortunately I use that as an excuse every time I go shopping. Can't keep doing that.
I should say that, we should say it again, because there's people out there who've got this.
Alopecia. I think 2% alopecia. Of the population. Yeah, there are.
You know, so if people don't know about it, it's worth having a look. And I imagine when your hair, does it start to fall out?
Falls out in patches first. So you get little bald patches on your head and you think, oh, here we go. And then sometimes it'll regrow. Sometimes it just continues that way.
So, you just don't know. And it must be quite a shocking thing when it first starts to happen to you. You were a small child when it began.
I was young, yeah. I was, first started when I was 5, but not too much happened. And treatment back in the day was to have injections in your scalp, steroid injections,
like diabetic needles.
Well, it meant that every 6 weeks I got to skive off school for the day. And my mum would take me up to the hospital. We'd eat cake. It was great. I thought it was great.
Such a terrible and yet great attitude. Yeah. Very difficult. It's brilliant.
And they had a good sense of humour about it. My mum was a hairdresser. So when I lost all my hair when I was 11, we took a trip, 2-hour train journey down to Edinburgh to get my first ever wig. And my dad said goodbye, waved goodbye as I got on the train and shouts at me, "Keep your hair on." It's like, what? So it was never something to be miserable about in the house. It was just, that was just the way it was.
Man,
no big
it's
deal.
It's only hair.
Which,
it's only hair.
Only
and
hair.
At the end of the day, when people make the mistake of thinking that you're a cancer patient, God forbid, you know, actually, it could be a lot worse.
That's right. I'm lucky.
Ah, dear.
Worse.
Brilliant. It's been so lovely talking to you.
Thank you. I've really
been
enjoyed
really
it.
Cool. Yeah, we had a good laugh.
Who would want to listen to me? But...
No, but can you imagine knows? People coming in and they've got, and I get it wrong, and it's the wrong kind of guest, and they're not very, they're dead serious, got no sense of humour. It's a horrible hour. It's really awkward.
Painful.
Hour.
What do you say when the music's on in between? Nothing.
I look at the thing and I go, well, we've got, in my head, I'm going, well, we've got 8 songs. How can we stretch this out? Is there a version with a really long solo I can find?
Here's a few similar songs.
That's never happened, really. It's really never happened. Because I meet people and they're always fun.
All right. Chat to anyone.
Kirsten Bruce, husband John, kids Nina and Rosie. Got it right. Smiling anyway, at least. Must be right. We're going for breakfast now.
Yay!
As we do every week after the show. And next week, do you know what? I've no idea who's on, but... Whatever it is, whoever it is, it'll be KX93.5's full English breakfast. And that's what we do. Great. Thanks for coming.
My pleasure. Thank you very much for inviting me.